from the KCPW Danker Studios at Library Square. This is Downtown SLC, a show that explores the people, places, and events helping to shape Utah's urban center. I'm your host, Jason Mathis. The Pride Festival kicks off today in downtown Salt Lake City. It runs Thursday, June 5th through Sunday, June 8th. The culmination of the Pride Festival every year is the Pride Parade, one of Utah's largest parades that attracts tens of thousands of people to the downtown area. Our guest today will be Emily Minch, the communications manager for Snowbird Ski and Summer Resort, and Doug Hoffling, the COO for Squatters Brew Pubs and Wasatch Beer. We'll be talking about why Utah corporations participate in the Pride Parade, what their interest is in being involved in this community celebration of diversity and inclusiveness. All of that after this news from the BBC. Welcome back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance. Today we're talking about the Pride Parade and Pride Festival going on this week at Washington Square in downtown Salt Lake City. The Pride Festival runs June 5th through the 8th and culminates in the annual Pride Parade. Joining me today is Emily Minch, the communications manager for Snowbird Ski and Summer Resort, and Doug Hoffling, who is the COO for Squatters Pub and Wasatch Beer. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We want to talk a little bit about why Squatters and Snowbird and many other large corporations and small corporations choose to participate in the Pride Parade. And Emily, maybe we can start with you. Snowbird has a big contingent every year in the Pride Parade. What makes you want to participate in this event in downtown Salt Lake City?
We think it's a fantastic opportunity to show support for our guests, our employees, and the community in general.
So can you give us a preview of what your float is going to entail this year?
Sure, I can. This year we are driving a early 1970s Unimog.
What's a Unimog?
It's this old Volkswagen truck they mostly used in the war, but it's so cool.
That sounds cool.
Yes, and we're so disappointed. Our GM was supposed to drive it. He just got called to DC, but we are so excited to have that truck there.
And how do you recruit people to participate from Snowbird? I know you don't just have employees, like you've got guests and season pass holders and a pretty wide range of people who participate in the Snowbird Pride Parade float.
Right. For the most part, it is just word of mouth. We've got several really passionate employees who have taken on the project and spread the word that we are looking for people to help us out.
Cool. Cool. And Doug, Squatters always has a very exciting float. Talk a little bit about what you guys are planning this year.
Well, this year, we have our float, our six-pack, which is six people standing in a six-pack with bottle caps.
Right.
It's going to be covered in rainbows. Jason Stock, who's on the bottle, the brewer.
Yeah.
Our brewmaster at Squatters, he's going to be there in a rainbow overalls.
Very nice. That's kind of his thing, the pitchfork and the overalls.
Yeah. He's got a little celebrity from that.
That's right. And I'll ask you the same question that I asked Emily. What's Squatters and Wasatch, what's your motivation for participating in this event?
Well, I think there's something about the Pride Parade, the Pride Festival that is in the service industry, we have so many members of the LGBT community, and it's a real important way for us to kind of communicate with them, to reach into that community, and we're so well represented there, so it's just kind of a natural fall.
So kind of a marketing?
I would say, if there's a marketing benefit to it, that's just kind of cream. Mm-hmm. It's more just being a member of our community.
Yeah, and participating. Yeah. It's interesting to me, the Pride Parade started in Salt Lake City, I think, in 1983. And at that time, the LGBTQ movement was really kind of in its infancy. I think people were not as vocal or as open about their sexuality. And it's changed pretty dramatically. I don't know that back in 83 that Snowbird or Squatters, which wasn't around then, I think you guys started a few years after that. But if major Utah corporations would have been as interested in participating, if you can talk a little bit about what prompted you initially to get involved, if you know that information, what made you want to get involved with the Pride Parade, however long ago you started entering and participating? And Doug, maybe we can start with you guys.
There was I'm trying to remember, it was about 10 years ago, we decided to make a float to enter into the St. Patrick's Day Parade. And it was just kind of the company got together. It was a community event. And there really wasn't any discussion after that. We made a float for St. Patrick's Day Parade. It was a huge hit. And the next parade was Pride.
Right.
And there was no one sat around the table saying, is this a smart political decision? Is this going to have any downside? It was just a matter of how can we repair this float from the party that was St. Patrick's Day and get it into Pride. So, and once that happened, we've been there ever since.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just made that same decision.
Yeah.
Emily, what about for Snowbird?
For Snowbird, last year was our first year being involved, and we had just a few employees who were interested, and we were shocked at how many people wanted to participate with them and saw the value in it for our resort and continued from there.
Yeah. And you had a pretty big entry last year, if I remember correctly.
We did.
Yeah. Why do you think people want to participate? Because it's not just LGBTQ people who are in the parade. It's really a celebration that involves a lot of straight people and a lot of other people who just want to be supportive. Is that your experience with your mm-hmm. employees? And maybe talk a little bit about who comes out and who wants to be part of this event in downtown Salt Lake City.
Well, for us, it's like you were saying, it's finding enough people to march in the parade is not the problem.
Yeah.
We have to cap it. We have to start saying no to people because friends and family, everybody wants to be there.
Yeah.
We get a good turnout for the other parades, but there's something about Pride that everybody wants to be involved in. And you can look back over time and remember when it was a much smaller parade. And yeah. I don't know how many years ago it was. Maybe 3 or 4 years ago, there was a real watershed. I think that was the first year that it actually was bigger than the Days of 47 parade.
Yeah, and I think it's gone back and forth of whether it's mm-hmm. bigger or not, but it's a huge parade.
It's a huge parade.
It's a huge parade.
And I remember that. We were marching down the street, and there was just this sea of people. It was unbelievable. And the tide of opinion in this country is changing so quickly, but I think it's a chance for people to really support their community. It's a chance for people to make a statement of support and love and inclusiveness
yeah.
that is kind of unique to the Pride Parade.
Emily, what's your opinion of why people come out to be part of the Snowbird float and participate?
I agree. There's something, the success of it in the last few years has led to more success, and it is fun.
Yeah. It's really a fun event.
I gotta say, it's really exciting to be part of it, just that huge crowd and marching, and it's really entertaining as well.
We should point out the parade is probably the most visible and prominent aspect of the whole Pride event, but it actually is a multi-day festival starting today at Washington Square and going for several days. Do either of you have booths at the festival itself?
We do not.
No.
We did last year. I'm actually not sure if we do this year.
Okay, no problem. It's interesting to go to the festival and see major brands like IKEA, major corporations there, and it's in a lot of ways, I think one of the most diverse experiences that people have, because you really have this wide cross-section. A Utah company, certainly Snowbird and Squatters are great Utah companies, but you also have American Express and Wells Fargo, eBay. I mean, you've got a pretty big contingency of sort of corporate America participating. And then you also have entries that are very personal and very specific to somebody's sexual identity. And then you've got Mormons Building Bridges and a contingent of active LDS people participating in the parade. So in a lot of ways, really underscoring that sort of diversity message in a very tangible way for people, not just talking about diversity, but actually showcasing it. From your perspective, how important is diversity and inclusiveness in your business model as you're thinking about who you are and who you want to reach out to? Does Snowbird have a policy about diversity or thoughts about that as an important element of your marketing?
Certainly. It's so important for us to create a community that supports each other. And I think once you start marketing that and promoting that, you get people who want to work for Snowbird and who want to support their community. And it just grows from there.
What do you think? The same thing?
Same thing. I think as members of the community here in Salt Lake City and in Utah, being able to be inclusive and have members of each community that's represented in the state a part of your business is really what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's true even for, a company that specializes in beer. You're still very inclusive. You want to reach out to people who drink and don't drink as mm-hmm. well. It's not one or the other.
Right.
And that's, I think, a nice thing about Squatters is whether people drink or not, you can go there and have a really nice time as a restaurant.
One of our biggest weekends is conference weekend.
Yeah, so. That's awesome. That's good. So presumably a lot of people are not drinking during conference weekend.
We don't tell.
We are going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the details of the Pride Festival and discuss sort of the evolution of the Pride Festival as it relates to the gay community in Salt Lake City and in the state of Utah. And we will be back after these messages. We are back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance. Joining me today is Emily Mensch, the communications manager for our Snowbird Ski and Summer Resort, and Doug Hoffling, who is the COO for Squatters Pubs and Wasatch Beers. So thanks both for being here again. We were talking about sort of the changes that have happened in our community and the progress that's been made here. It's interesting. I think a lot of people would be surprised about the fact that Utah is really, if not one of the states, the state that is kind of pushing marriage equality with the lawsuit Kitchen v. Herbert. At the Pride Parade, they have made the three different couples who are plaintiffs in that lawsuit the grand marshals. That's Lori Wood, Cody Patridge, Mobdi Sbeti, and Derek Kitchen. Kate Call and Karen Archer, and I think I should point out that Modi and Derek are actually sponsors of the Downtown Alliance's Farmers Market and have a booth there where they sell hummus and other good spreads. So in the interest of open disclosure, I'll mention that the Downtown Alliance has a relationship with those guys. It's an interesting aspect to our state and something that I think a lot of people wouldn't have expected. And Doug, do you guys have an opinion about that? Are you interested in that? What's Squatters doing about that? I know that you may have expressed your feelings through the creation of some special beers, actually, as a result of that.
Yes, we did. When you know, as I think I speak for a lot of people when I talk about how surprised we all were when that ruling came down, and all of a sudden, gay marriage was legal in Utah. My brother was among one of the couples. My brother and my now literal brother-in-law, were among the couples that made it down to the courthouse
and
in time.
Got married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just such an incredible moment. No one saw it coming. Even though you could feel there was momentum building in the country and in the state and in the community, it just was an absolute mind-boggling event. And so we produced a beer called Live and Let Live, which is currently not on tap, I should mention, but will be soon.
Yeah.
That is, a celebration of that event. We couldn't be happier for our brothers and sisters. It's just a wonderful thing to have happen. And who knew that Utah would be out front?
Yeah.
I think some of us in Utah might have known it, but
I think that a lot of people in Utah were really surprised about it,
actually.
So yeah. Even people who may have been on the forefront of the marriage equality movement, I think were blown. I've talked to Brandy Balkin with Equality Utah, and she said, I had no idea. Like, it was just kind of shocking to her. Mm-hmm. And shocking to people who were opposed to that. I talked to Paul Merrill at the Sutherland Institute. He said he couldn't believe it either. So a lot of people were surprised about that decision.
I think on both sides, yeah. The look on the faces of the couples at the courthouse really was the most telling. Everyone there couldn't believe it was happening.
Yeah.
It was joyous, but mostly people were just shocked.
Yeah. Emily, Snowbird is very contained. I mean, you guys spend a lot of time and energy getting people to drive up Little Cottonwood Canyon to come to Oktoberfest or to ski or to go to the restaurants at Snowbird or all the great alpine summer stuff you've got. Pride is an instance where you really sort of step out of that boundary. And maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
Sure. It's true. We are always inviting people up to the resort. It's very rare that we take the resort out into the community, or at least the resort community out into the community. And this is one of those instances where we just thought it was so important, and people were just asking us to do it too. So it was both sides. We wanted to. People were asking us to, and we decided to go for it.
Did that request come from inside the resort? Was it outside the resort? Were people surprised? I don't know if there are other ski resorts that participate. I don't remember seeing other resorts in the Pride Parade.
Yeah, I'm not sure there either. It did start as an internal thing, and then the support for it was everyone.
Yeah.
And there was a day this year where we flew rainbow flags off of the tram.
Oh, wow.
And we had nothing but a positive response, and we really wanted to keep that momentum going and do some more outreach rather than just having people come to us.
Yeah. It's interesting. I know so many entities, corporations, particularly in the travel world, have really focused on the LGBTQ market. I think Marriott Hotels and Resorts, which is, I think, always kind of thought of as a fairly conservative brand, has just launched a new initiative to try to reach out to gay travelers. Do you guys ever differentiate between that market segment? Do you do specific things to reach out to gay consumers through your marketing, or is it not that distinguished? Do you not look at them as a distinct group that has different unusual marketing than what you would be doing to the general public?
I think that we generally, we do things like the Live and Let Live beer, supporting human rights campaign, stuff like that, that we feel is important as a member of the community. But as our marketing goes, I think it's like you said, we consider the whole community. Mm-hmm. We consider inclusiveness. We want to make an environment that's welcome to everybody. So we don't try and specifically target a population as much as we try and target the entire population.
Right.
We want an environment where whether you're gay or straight or any other variation of anything, you're right. Welcome in our restaurants.
Right. Emily, what do you think about that? Do you guys do specific outreach to the gay community?
Not particularly. Our LGBTQ consumers fit within our other demographics that we do outreach to. So.
Right. I know at sometimes there have been, gay ski weekends. I think Park City used to host a pretty big one. But it's almost as though as this movement has matured and progressed, it seems like it's become almost less critical to have that specific outreach, that really your orientation is, while still an important probably part of who you are, it's not a distinguishing feature that you say, well, this is the only way I'm going to identify myself. It's one of many aspects of your life, the color of your skin, mm-hmm. or where you live in town, or how many kids you have, or there are all these other distinguishing features, and your orientation is just one of those features. Does that mesh with your thinking about how this movement has changed and how you think about them as business owners and as people trying to make money and encourage consumers to come to your resort or to eat in your restaurants or buy your beer?
Yeah, I think that, I think when there's a huge opposition out there to who you are as a person, then you really define yourself by that. And as that opposition diminishes, although it seems that its volume is increasing in inverse proportion to its size, as that opposition decreases, then you no longer have to define yourself by that characteristic alone.
Yeah.
And I see that happening in amongst our, people who work for our company, friends and family that are in that community. It's just, it's the acceptance across the board is just settling out so nicely.
Yeah.
It's so pleasant.
And so quick.
Yeah.
Like, I think sometimes I have friends who are pretty active in this movement, and I think sometimes there's a sense of frustration that things aren't happening faster. And I just say in my perspective, it's happening incredibly quickly. And the societal changes are just so dramatic and are happening before our very eyes. Although, from a day-to-day perspective, I know it can seem like a lot longer time than that.
It seems we're just being outpaced by the changes that are happening. It's dizzying.
Yeah.
A year ago, who could have thought?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
For our community in particular, mm-hmm. I think. As we conclude, I wanted to give you guys an opportunity to talk not just about the parade, but more generally about how your business is responding to these changes, these societal changes. If there is a response even warranted, how are you thinking about these things, maybe differently than you were 5 years ago or 10 years ago in the way that you're pursuing your business strategy?
I would say over the last few years, it hurts businesses if you aren't really accepting and supportive of all these diverse communities. I think before it was okay if you had certain biases, and nowadays it really hurts businesses if you do have those.
Yeah, and I thought about this a little bit, sort of the Chick-fil-A example where, the owner expressed, I think, his personal feelings, mm-hmm. and there was this enormous backlash, and then also some support from him from other people. I've wondered about that because I kind of feel like, well, maybe this guy has an opportunity to say what he thinks, and it's been interesting to be an outside observer watching that happen, mm-hmm. and then also to see the sort of wide-ranging support for corporations, major corporations, and I said, Utah corporations, who come out and are very supportive. It's an interesting distinction between that experience and then people being sort of out and loud and proud of their gay employees or their gay customers and being very supportive of the LGBTQ movement more generally. Doug, what do you think about that? How's that transition happening?
Well, you know, we never hesitated to express our opinion about these subjects as far as being involved in Pride or the HRC or any other organization. We were never hesitant, but we always knew there was going to be some kind of a backlash. Mm-hmm. We knew we would start getting emails or phone calls or letters, and those have diminished down to almost nothing now.
Yeah.
And so you kind of make a statement, you expect a big backlash, and you make the statement, and all you get is support.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, so I think that's great. You know, and I feel for the owner of Chick-fil-A in a certain way. He expressed his opinion, and he is certainly free to do so, but we're also free not to buy his product.
Sure. And other people are free to react to that opinion.
Exactly.
Yeah. Interesting times, interesting transitions. We're certainly seeing that in downtown Salt Lake City mm-hmm. with the Pride Parade and Festival. Again, the festival is going on this weekend. It goes from the 5th to the 8th at Washington Square, and then the big parade starts at 10 o'clock. The route of the parade this year, and I think it's been this way for a few years, goes down 2nd East to 200 South. It starts at 3rd South and 4th East, one block headed north, and then a big turn, and then heads down 200 South all the way to the Salt Palace Convention Center. So if you are interested in participating, interested in attending, I will say our parade is a little more family-friendly than maybe parades in San Francisco or Montreal or New Orleans. But lots of families, lots of kids, not as much skin as maybe is shown in some other communities. But I think that sort of speaks to who we are as Utahns. It's a little more family-friendly parade. And a good experience if you're interested in understanding diversity, understanding this movement. It's a great sort of way to understand that in a very celebratory and exciting way. Thank you both for being down here. Thanks for your participation in our program today and also for your efforts to make downtown a more interesting, diverse, and dynamic place.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Jason.
You've been listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. Join us every Thursday at 10 a.m. where we talk about the people, places, and events helping to shape Utah's urban center.